Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me. And it is a choice, kind of is and isn't, on this June 20th day, 2020. We're going through some difficult times, are we not? And everything is kind of changing rapidly. And most of us in this country are not used to this kind of change, nor do we understand much of the nature of it. So we're going to try to talk a little bit about it here on Aspire. We're going to talk about goodness and mercy and that whole thing. I have had some wonderful questions. If this pandemic has offered me at least anything, it's given me a chance to hear you in a different way. And I am thrilled that I'm getting emails and that you're responding. It is an interesting time in the history of our world. Who thought that at the beginning of this year, we would be where we are today in this precious month of June? Who knew? Riots, pandemic viruses, I mean, closing of the stock exchange and then the plummeting of the Dow Jones. Businesses closing forever. Ones you never thought, at least here in our little village, ones we never thought would ever close are gone. This is going to be a complete change, a complete wipeout, as it were, of our normality, as it were. So people are sending me emails. I get twice as many emails now as I ever did, and I want to thank all of you. I will get to them. I promise. It just is going to take me a little time to sift through them and get to them here on radio. But keep sending them. If you have questions, it's greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. And you can reach me that way. First question comes from Ryan in Chicago. And he says, he asked just a simple question. Through this whole pandemic thing, I am learning that nothing I thought was good was good. And I think that is very intelligent. Very intelligent. Ryan, I'm with you, baby. And then he asked, what is good? You know, Buddha talked a lot about good. He talked about good and goodness. And it's a word that really can't be explained very well. Because one man's good in a conventional way, in our conventional living, is another man's disappointment and can often be the bad in his life. So what is good? And I'll tell you what it is, my definition of it, and maybe this might help. Good is only good when it comes from the intent of mercy. From the very intent of being merciful. So if you want to do a great good, Ryan, it has to come not from sympathy. It has nothing to do with moral beliefs of right and wrong, good and bad. It has to do with giving a sense of mercy to the situation. This mercy is the intent of goodness, or good itself, is the only antidote to hate and evil. And yes, it is a difficult thing to find in our world. It's a very difficult thing to find in our world, but yet it does exist and it lives within us all. The problem is we don't accentuate the mercy. People want justice now. They want leadership and justice, and they're looking, and it just cracks me up. I almost roll over on the ground laughing. They want it from a government that is corrupt, fascist. That's what they want. This lady was on radio the other day on NPR, and she was screaming, you know, how something as terrible as is happening with the police and black people and all that other stuff she was screaming about. She said, how can this happen in America? And that's what made me laugh so hard. Lady, what makes you think America is so special? I mean, really, it is happening because it's America. Not in a, you know, oh, how could this happen? Like it's some surprise. We are a bunch of narcissistic racists. We just don't get it. We're run by a bunch of white old men who are running the country, and we're elected to run the country by people who were of color, women, men, people, all sorts of different, you know, genders and races. They voted for these people. It's not the government's the problem. It's we the people that is the problem. Not the, you were the ones electing these people, so to speak. If you believe in the Electoral College, then you understand you elect no one. And that's personally why I never vote and never have. I've never believed in the Electoral College. So when you're asking about what is good and you think you're going to get it from the United States government, you're out of your mind. You have lost your cookies. You're not going to get it from a bunch of men who have agendas of only attaining to wealth. They're not interested in any of that. What you will find as goodness is in your own heart. You have to get away from the noise of politics, the noise of people talking about liberty, truth, justice, and the American way and all that other stuff. It does not exist. In fact, if we are honest with ourselves, we can see that it never existed. These are ideas, lofty ideals that were thrown at people that appealed to their sense of, their sense of convention, just living in convention. And most people just live in convention. They don't live in the heart. They're not true to their heart. They live in the convention of theory and belief and ideals that just don't exist. So when you're looking for good and you're meditating and you're working upon yourself, you find that good is goodness that lives inside the intent of achieving mercy. Let us not worry about social justice. Let us be focused on mercy. Loving mercy within us. We do not have any sense of the energetics of ourselves. We do not believe in energetics. We believe in action in the world. We believe in taking up a sword and fighting. We do not believe in taking the energies that live within us and sending them out in the world through loving kindness. We who do understand these laws and principles are often called tree huggers and, you know, idiots and all of that. And the names that we are called or the attributes that we are labeled doesn't really matter to us. It really doesn't. What matters is sending out the loving energy. This energy will touch those who are susceptible. Our job, Ryan, is to be susceptible to the mercy that lives within us, which brings about the goodness that is everywhere and within us all. If you're waiting for it to happen in the outer world, you're going to miss. You're going to miss your entire life. And nothing of the state of love will ever come about. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate peace. You can't. And what we're seeing today is not just the corruptness of government and human bias. What we're seeing is we the people. We elected these people. Well, I didn't, but most people do. They vote, and they make this vote thing sound a government like it's, you know, your inalienable right and blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is the deck is stacked, and no matter who you vote for, the people that are going to get in are the ones that were designated to get in. So if you're running that, you know, program in your head over and over again that truth, justice, and the American way, then you're not going to be able to send energy. You're not going to be able to have the energy to send forth into life as love. Jesus lived in very traumatic times. Buddha lived in very traumatic times. These times have not changed, and they never will change. So what you and I have to ask ourselves is, if this is the history of the world, which it is, what part do I play in it? If you play any part in it in the form of hating what you see going on in this world, if you dislike what is happening and you want to, so to speak, rise up against it riot, you're going to miss. The revelation must be the revolution, the revelation of the futility of being human, the futility of human nature that cannot deal with anything other than itself in the form of violence. And until you and I understand the futility of being human, we will not go to the divine. We just won't do it. Our greatest teacher in this planet is futility, not love. It should be love. It could be love, but it's not. It is futility. And most people wear it like a badge on their forehead, and it never really changes much and causes a great deal of useless pain and sorrow. So there you are. Ryan, what is good? Good is the intent that comes from mercy. Thank you, Ryan, for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The most precious gift on this planet is to obtain the state of mercy. People don't believe that. Next one comes from our friend Linda in Los Angeles. What is best for us all, do you think? What can we do to change things? Linda. It's an interesting question. The things we need to do, we won't do. The things that would really change the world, we are not interested in. So this is a very difficult question. We have had many beautiful people, men and women, come and go out of this world who left us with the truth of the matter. Mary Magdalene said, "The reason you get sick and die is because you love what misleads you." I agree with her. Linda, we like to be misled. It is a wonderful feeling emotionally to the human body. The endorphins get acknowledged, and testosterone in men get acknowledged, and all sorts of wonderful things start to happen that gratify the human body when we're in hatred. And we love our hatred. We live in a society that honors opposition. I'll never forget George Bush Sr. running for president, talking about the idea that having some kind of competition in the American system was good for people. And it is such a shallow point of view. We don't need competition. We need oneness. We need cooperation. We need to change our ways so drastically that we can't do it. That would mean that we didn't do things for profit. We don't do things to profit. We do things to serve one another, to help the world be a better place, for learning less from futility and more from insight. But we're not going to get that. The things we need to do, Linda, are the things we don't believe in, the things we don't want to believe in, the things we don't like. If you read Behave by Robert Sapolsky, you will learn a great deal about how human bodies function, why they function the way they do, and what happens to them. You will learn about the chemicals in the brain, in the body, that force us to do things and let us believe that we're acting on our own, with our own volition, and we're not. We are a reflux. We are always, always fighting with our bodies and reacting from our genetics and our DNA. And in doing all of this, we miss what the meaning of our life is, and we do not sustain intelligence this way. So, what is the best for us all? Well, we're all here for different karmas. We're all here from different karmas. But what is good for all of us is love. But that doesn't mean we're susceptible to love. Each of us, I have found in my years of teaching, has a different way of interpreting the human body. We live as a human being, not as love, not as energetic. We just don't. We don't have any respect for that. And there comes a time where we just think, oh, what the hell? I'm just going to live this thing out, you know, like a human being would live it out, and I'm not going to do anything unusual or beautiful with my life. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that's the way we go about our life, because it's easier that way, and we're always looking for the easy way. And the easy way is to be self-destructive. This is the constant of most people, the convention of most people, because they live as a human body. They don't think that there is anything more than what they can think or what they can emotionally feel. And because they're conned into the idea that thinking and emotionality are the essence of living and the meaning of their life, they just go on and on and on in this, and they create nothing but hardship for themselves and misery. That's just the way it is with people. So I can't talk you down from that, Linda. I can't talk anyone down from that. I can't reason with anyone. Because when you start to reason with people and tell them you are more than what you think, you are more than what you emotionalize, you are more than what you're afraid of, and you start teaching that, people get skeptical. They think you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes. They don't get it. They're not very bright. And I have learned over the years that people who are given the idea that they are free, people who are given the idea that they are free, think they are privileged and they are entitled, and that leads to all sorts of ugly behaviors that make living very difficult. I mean, imagine trying to govern we the people. Just imagine that. How difficult that would be. How impossible that would be. So we are people who don't live by the heart. We're the people that live by the chemical reactions going on in our physical bodies. And that's all we believe in, is whatever the mind can conceive of, whatever the mind can think, whatever it can wrap its thoughts around, that's what we believe in. And that's as far as we go for the most part. And hence, we miss. We miss the meaning of our life. So what's best for us all? Not to get caught up in the illusion of delusion. And that requires insight. That requires meditation. That requires the intent of achieving mercy in this lifetime. To no longer think in terms of what I can get, what I can have, who stands in my way, blah, 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 blah. But to be energetic on our own, lovingly, to let love live us, to put love, kindness, forgiveness, compassion ahead of our desire, our ambition, and our prides. And if we do this, we change many aspects of our life. But most people just don't do it because the preferences of their genetic nature is more important to them. Survival is more important to them than is love. most people are not in love. I watch these silly little outtakes of movies and things, you know, the trailers, and I'm in love. And I just roll my eyes. Anyway, I hope that helps you, Linda. I hope you're safe and sound down there in LA, and thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste. And I want to also thank her after all these years of being here on radio and her asking questions. She's become a sponsor finally, and I'm very grateful for that. Thank you, Linda. Only took you 10 years, but, you know, that's what it takes. All right, the last question comes from Karen. She does not tell me where she lives. I can't help but feel hate for the hateful. Am I a sinner? What is wrong with me, Karen? You're not a sinner, okay? I can't do the religious thing for you. So I don't look at people as sinners. What's wrong with you? You're insecure. Your DNA, which is working 24/7 all of your life on worrying about how you and I are going to survive, has now hit the peak. And so when you see someone who you think is a hater and is doing hateful things, and you yourself hate them for their hatefulness, you've joined them. It's a disease, this thing called hate. It's systemic. It's cancer. And it just psychologically and emotionally goes out into the world and does all sorts of very ugly things to human beings, eventually making us ill and sick because, like Mary Magdalene said, we love what misleads us. So, what is the antidote to all of this? You've got to see the futility of your hate. I can give you catharsis and meditations. I can give you radio programs, discourses. I can give you TV programs I've given on this. But what good would it do you? If you are convinced that only through hate do you satisfy your needs. And that's what most people are about. They're only about satisfying their needs. And hate is like adrenaline. It's like candy for people. It's human candy, emotional chocolates, and we love dipping our psyche into these chocolates that makes us feel righteous and right, and for the first time, we're not so stupid, we think, and we're valuable because we're hating the right things, and that's the way human beings think. So, Karen, I can't talk you out of your hate. I can show you what it's doing to you, which I just did. It's killing you. It will put you in the midst of danger because your energies will be pronounced enough to bring you into the collective in that nice pod of people in this Kali Yuga stage where you're just dipping yourself into more and more hatred over and over and over again. You're going to have that. That's a wonderful plus, and I'm being sarcastic. But, you know, for most people, that's okay. That's their convention. That's the way they think. And they don't care to see the bigger picture. They have no focus, no concentration, no ability to see the bigger picture, none whatsoever. So they just go on and on and on living as they do. And you can change all of this when you finally see that your hatred hasn't changed anything but you. Your hatred has backfired on you. It has made you contrary to love. And if that doesn't matter to you, then you're too far gone to be able to change. I doubt if you'd ever change because the systemic belief in hate and fear, the joy of feeling sanctimonious about it, is really a very powerful drug. And very few people overcome it. I'm just telling you. Lifetime after lifetime, baby. That's what it turns into. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening, Karen. Thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you all for your attentions. It's very kind of you. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.